around the corner. And I saw this little article, and a gentleman joining us right now, his name is Kevin Lindenmuth. And Kevin is a horror film junkie. And we're all, deep down in our hearts, horror film junkies. And he has put together over 20 years of reviews of some of the great horror and sci-fi classics of all time. And I love the title, The Good, The Bad, and The So Bad, They're Good. Kevin has produced many movies, many documentaries, and he is joining us right now from his home in Michigan. And Kevin, thanks for joining us here in Fargo.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Ever been to our fair city, by the way?
I have not. I have not.
Well, it's a great place to make a movie if you're interested.
Yeah, if I want someplace that's really cold.
It's
cold here, though.
So you started out making horror movies? Is that what I understand?
Yeah, you know, I went to college. I was a film video major at University of Michigan. And, you know, when I was a kid, I always watched a lot of horror movies. So that's sort of what I wanted to do ever since I was, like, you know, 4 years old. And, you know, that's what I did. You know, after I graduated, I moved to New York, and I was in a situation where I had access to a lot of equipment and stuff for a company I worked for, and I, you know, did some horror movies, and then, you know, I did one or two every year after that, just because I like them. I mean, you know, I've always been a fan. So, you know, that's sort of it in a nutshell.
Uh-huh. Did you do everything yourself as far as, I mean, like script writing, producing, and directing, or...?
Well, yeah, the script writing I did myself, you know, and the producing. Yeah, basically all of it. You know, I'd get a crew. I'd find sort of like-minded people, you know, people I worked with on other, you know, video productions, whether it be, you know, commercials or whatever. And they were interested in working on the films. And, you know, got them. Everybody sort of, you know, had the same mindset, you know, understanding this was like, you know, really low budget, you know. And shooting on video, you know, I was one of the first people back then, because this was like early 90s, and really couldn't afford to shoot on film, so we shot on video. But I had access to these broadcast quality, you know, $100,000 cameras, basically. And so the video looked a little bit better. You know, they were sort of the best cameras you could have at the time, you know, way before HD. And so, you know, after they were done, I got them into like Blockbuster and Hollywood Video and that type of thing. So, you know, and that sort of started other people doing it. You know, there was like a group of us living in New York City that, you know, were making all these movies in the 90s and getting them out there. And, you know, and I think that was sort of the first time, you know, people were able to get these movies that were only made for a couple $1,000s or, you know, out there.
Are there some titles of yours, Kevin, that we would recognize?
Probably that the horror fans would recognize. Like, my first movie was called Vampires and Other Stereotypes. And then in the mid-90s, I did a series of films called Addicted to Murder. And I kind of combined the serial killer and the vampire genres because I had seen so many serial killer movies by then. I was sort of burned out on them. And I'm like, well, how can you change it? Like, no one ever really combined it with vampires up until that time. So I figured I'd try to play my own twist on it. And then I did a bunch of sort of alien-type horror movies after that. So, you know, like the diehard fans would probably, you know, have seen them, especially if they were like a teenager or like an adult in the 90s or the early 2000s. They'd probably be familiar with these movies. And they're being re-released lately. Like, you could get them on Netflix and stuff.
I looked through the book. And by the way, folks, you can only get the book on the e-readers because it's 4,000 pages. Holy smokes, Kevin. That had to have been a job in itself, for crying out loud.
Yeah, it took a while. I mean, it's basically, you know, 15, 20 years in the making. That's basically every review I've ever written for any magazine I've written for. And, you know, I added a bunch more reviews of stuff that, you know, after I started compiling them all, because I figured, well, I should maybe compile them into a book. And then once I started doing that, I realized, oh, I forgot about this movie, and I should really have this movie in there because it's one of my favorites. And, oh, if I did that movie, then I had to review the other movie. So it's a really sort of weird collection of reviews because those are all movies that I wanted to see. Whether I liked them or not is sort of a different matter. But, you know, like, for example, I don't review Alien for the 100th time because, you know, other books have done it. But I will have reviewed, like, an independent movie, you know, that maybe, you know, 100 people have seen, or I review, like, the third sequel to another movie that you never see reviewed, you know? So, you know, which may even be better than the first movie, you know? So it's a weird sort of collection, and I have my biases. I love, you know, I grew up in the, you know, 70s and 80s and stuff. So, you know, anything with apes in it, I'm sort of biased to, you know, I love the Planet of the Apes movies, love King Kong. Anything that has, you know, dinosaurs in it or vampires, because I grew up watching Dark Shadows, you know, when it was on in the early 70s. And so, you know, that's sort of my thing I lean towards. So there's a lot of reviews of those type of movies.
Now in you mentioned there are sci-fi and horror movies in this book. Is there what would you say would be the difference as far as, because you're right, they do kind of butt up against each other as far as what exactly they are, the genre they're in.
They do. I mean, you know, and there's a lot of dramas that have horrific scenes in it, you know. It gets mixed up a lot, you know, like, you know, is it just a horror movie or is it a drama that has horror elements to it? Is it a comedy, drama, you know, comedies have horror elements to them and vice versa. So, you know, it's a widespread thing. And then also I reviewed a lot of like TV series and stuff, and, you know, it encompasses a lot, you know, the whole horror aspect of things. So, you know, it's pretty much, again, a perspective thing, you know, it's my own biases, what I guess accept as a horrific thing in a movie, you know, is it considered a horror movie or not, or, you know.
So I'll ask you right away, who's more scarier, Freddy Krueger or Jason?
I think Freddy Krueger is, because, you know, Jason is like a physical, you know, creature that's after you, you know, and so, you know, you could actually stay away from him, you know, but eventually Freddy Krueger is going to get you because you have to go to sleep. You can't stay up forever. So, you know, there's no escape. How can you escape going to sleep? You can't, you know.
You
can outrun a zombie, basically, because after a while, Jason was basically a zombie, you know, because I think he got killed in the fifth movie or the fourth movie, and then he was resurrected as a zombie in the sixth one. And so, you know, he's sort of like basically like a zombie after Friday the 13th, part 6. And so, you know, you could run, you know, you get away from a zombie, you can kill a zombie, but how do you get rid of something that could, you know, kill you in your dreams? That's really not that tangible. So I think Freddy Krueger's more scary.
I have to admit, and I've done this several times, people have asked me, what's the scariest movie you've ever seen?
Mm-hmm.
And I do have to think that Nightmare 1.
Yeah.
Really, really shook me up. I mean, I was really jumping in my seat when I saw that in the theater.
Yeah, because it's so serious. It's just so, there's sort of unrelenting. There's nothing that, you know, a lot of movies you'll see something, you know, something terrible happens, and they have something funny to sort of lighten it up afterwards, and then something bad happens again, and then they lighten it up again. But that movie is just so, like, relentless, you know? It's a very grim movie. So I find, like, the more grim and serious a movie is, usually the more scary it is.
Kevin Lindenmuth is our guest here tonight on KFGO. Horror movies, the good, the bad, and the so bad, they're good. By the way, who's the, do you know who the lady is on the cover of your book?
Yeah, you know, that's actually from one of my movies. That's from one of the Addicted to Murder movies I did. I think that was released like in 1995, 1996. And that's Sasha Graham. And she was an actress for a while. Was in a lot of like low-budget horror movies in the 90s, late 90s. And, she has since quit that, and she is actually a professional tarot card reader now, and she's written a couple of books about it. So that's what she does now. But that's who that is. It's from one of my independent movies.
Well, that's an interesting twist, from an actress to a tarot card reader.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Hey, Kevin, we're going to take a brief break here. When we come back, I want to get Scott in on this conversation, because he has seen Killer Clowns from Outer Space. And we will talk about that and much more when we come back. You're listening to Nighttime Live here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Ooh. Very familiar theme there, Kevin.
Yeah.
The Exorcist, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Oh.
Yeah, it is.
That's Halloween.
Oh, it's Halloween.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, John Carpenter, yeah.
So, okay, my mistake. I thought that was, okay.
Would you like me to take over?
Yeah, okay. No, I stand corrected.
It's a Halloween
theme.
The Scream Queen, Jamie Lee Curtis.
It really did to me sound like The Exorcist, too, though, for a second.
Yeah, the bells, the tone of it, it does. Yeah. Right.
This is Kevin Lindenmuth. The book is called Horror Movies, The Good, The Bad, And the so bad, they're actually good, or they're good, I should say. I put the actually on there myself. Kevin has put this book out. We're talking about some of the great horror classics of all time. And I had talked off the air with Scott Sorum, who is our producer here tonight. And we're talking about the movies that are so bad, they're good. And apparently you, both of you, have seen Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Oh, yeah.
First one to come to my mind. Love that movie.
Oh, I do, too. Yeah, it's sort of terrifying. Well, anything with clowns, you know. Anything with clowns works for me. So.
Well, how does that happen? I mean, do people do that on purpose to make it so bad that people actually like watching it?
Well, that's, you know, it's a perspective thing again. You know, like, I don't think that movie's bad. I think that movie's a really well-done, effective horror movie. It's, you know, it's weird. It's more weird than it is bad. I mean, just the whole thing with the clowns, you know, their circus tent's really a spaceship. They sort of, like, you know, preserve the dead bodies in, like, things that look like cotton candy. And, you know, and then you have these little clown aliens, you know, hatches from, I think, the popcorn. The popcorn's like their eggs or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh, man.
Weird.
I've got
it's just...
And don't forget the pie scene where the man is killed by the pies.
Yeah, and it dissolves their flesh or whatever. And they start,
Oh, I've got to go see this. I've got to get this.
This is good stuff, Bob.
I've got to rent this. That's great. Are there any other ones? Any other ones that come to the top of your mind?
Of like really bad?
That they're good?
Well, you know, the other day I watched this movie. I think it was on like Turner Classic Movies or something. It's called The Slime People. I haven't seen this movie since I was like about 7 or 8 years old. And my memory of this movie, it was like pretty terrifying. It creeped me out. You know, basically Los Angeles, this guy is in his plane, goes through a fog bank, lands in L.A., is totally deserted except for a couple people, and has been invaded by these monsters that came up from underneath the ground. And he finds out all about this because it's such a low budget, they couldn't show all this. And so it's just all explained to him by these survivors he finds on the ground. And they tell him that, you know, these slime people came out the ground and started killing people on the beaches and stuff. And, you know, so, like, I realized, like, boy, this is like a really zero-budget movie, you know, that was made, I don't know, late 50s, early 60s. So my memory of it, you know, when I was little, far more scary movie than it actually was. Though I must say that the monster costumes were still pretty good. Like I remember that exactly, but it's just like a really, you know, everything's told rather than shown, you know.
Is Roger Corman the king of those movies?
I think he is. And also, you know, and beyond him, you have guys like, you know, Charlie Band over at Full Moon Pictures, and he did, like, you know, the Puppet Master movies and those type of things, you know, in the 80s and 90s. And, you know, there's always a new group of people doing those type of movies. You know, lately it seems to be like there's this company that does all these, they call them mockbusters, and they get a lot of their films in the block, you know, in the Blockbuster and stuff now, and they get them on the Sci-Fi channel, and they're always like copies of, you know, like a $100 million movie will come out like Avatar or, you know, Battle Los Angeles or something, and they'll make a movie that sort of fits the same description, but, you know, you spend like $50,000 on the movie, you know? And so they're trying to draw the same audience, but all that really does is tick me off when I see it. I won't even watch a movie that's produced by them. I'll like record something on TV, you know, because I like to keep up with, you know, what's going on. And as soon as I see their production credits come up, I'm like, nah, I'm not going to watch it, you know? I do not want to watch Shark Tornado.
Do you find, by the way, remakes, for example, not sequels, but like, you know, Invasion of the Body Snatchers from the 50s, and I think they made one again in the early 90s.
Yeah, and I like all of them. Like, I think I like all the Body Snatchers movies, you know, because actually the original one and then the one that came out in the 70s is almost sort of a sequel to it. It's also a remake, but it's like a sequel because it has, you know, the actor who is in the first movie. And then the one that was made in the 90s, which I think took place like on an army base, you know, is pretty much a sequel to the 70s movie, you know, because it seems to take place during the same time, and the pods look exactly the same, and the makeup looks sort of the same. And then, you know, there was a one with Nicole Kidman that was, you know, done like 10 years ago, whatever, and that was a completely different take. So that was basically like a remake, while the first ones were sort of, you know, sequels to each other. But, you know, then again, that's based on a book, you know, that was written in the 50s. So,
sure.
Yeah, you know, it's sort of interesting. You know, sometimes remakes work well. Like, they did that for a while with remaking a lot of the, you know, Japanese and Korean horror movies, like The Ring, you know? Like, the remake of The Ring. I love that movie. That was great.
That was
I like it more than the original. But, you know, the original one was like, eh, yeah, it was okay.
Wow. I do remember that. That was a good movie. Hey, by the way, you mentioned a couple of actors' names there. Are there any actors that are really huge, big right now that actually got their start at a low-budget horror movie?
I think most of them. who's out now? Like, Jennifer Aniston, for example. I think her first movie was the first Leprechaun movie in the 90s.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, and there's been, like, I don't know, like five of those movies since. I think it's her before she had her nose job, but she's, I think that was her first movie.
Wow. There was another one I was thinking of too, but I don't think it was her first movie. But there was this really, really horrible Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie that they did. I think it was called The Next Generation, if I'm not mistaken. I think Renee Zellweger was in it, and also Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that was Texas Chainsaw The Next Generation. Yeah.
Oh, that was a horrible movie. I didn't like it.
They tried to like. I could see what they were sort of trying to do with it, but yeah, it didn't work. But the remakes, you know, they did actually remake the first Texas Chainsaw movie, you know, some years ago, and those were great. I think Michael Bay did them, right?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, those were great. Like the remakes were great of those, but like the original one, like the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre was great. I think that was Toby Hooper directed that, and he directed the second one. And the second one had, I can't think what his name is, Dennis Hopper in it. Remember Dennis Hopper?
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah, he was in the second Chainsaw Massacre movie. But, yeah, I think a lot of actors will start in them because, you know, there's just so many horror movies made, you know, I think more so than any other type of movie because it's easier to sell them. Because it doesn't really depend on like a name actor or actress or even necessarily how well it's written. There's always a fan for horror, you know, and it's usually, you know, teenagers to young adults. That's who, you know, mostly watch that type of movie, you know, at first. And, you know, so I think it gives an opportunity to a lot of actors to be in those movies. That's why, you know, it employs a lot of them, you know, whether they're doing it for free or just being paid, whatever.
Or one picture left on their contract.
yeah. You know, but I don't even think they have contracts anymore, you know. But also, you know, I think it's a lot of actors end up there, you know, a lot of really good actors from years ago, and then they end up, you know, towards the last decade of the career ending up, you know, in horror movies just because, you know, it's work, you know, and they do need to work. Eric Roberts. I think Eric Roberts, you know, he was an up-and-coming actor in the 80s. And, you know, Julia Roberts' brother.
Uh-huh.
And now he's in, like, every other horror movie that's on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Wow.
You know, it's like a spoof of himself. So, you know, what do you do?
Before we went out of time, though, you mentioned about actors. But, you know, people like Boris Karloff, they started off, you know, Frankenstein. That's basically all they did for a good portion of their career.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. But, you know, they became famous for that. I mean, they sort of embraced it. So, you know, some actors embrace it. Some want to get away from it. You know, it just depends, you know. It just depends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess he knew his sort of what his fan base was, what his market was. And, you know, he definitely had a very distinctive voice. He had a distinctive look to him. You know, what else is he going to do? It's like that one actor, Rondo Hatton. I think he had, he was always cast as a character called the Creeper in like the 40s and 50s, and he had this disease that, sort of like the guy in Mask, you know, had that disease where the bone grows in his face. And this actor was cast in these really creepy roles is because he was sort of deformed, you know, and they didn't have to do a makeup job on him, but he's really known for those movies. So, you know, it just, you know, again, depends on the actor, what they're willing to do, or if they want to break out of it or not. I'm sure if Boris Karloff wanted to break out of that, he would have, you know.
We're running a little short of time here. I got to ask you, what's Kevin Lindemuth going to be watching on Halloween night?
You know, I'll probably watch Halloween again. I do like Halloween. The original, though, you know, the remake was good too. I did like the remake because it was different, you know, than the original. But, you know, probably a Halloween or a Friday the 13th, something like that.
Kevin Lindemuth, our special guest tonight, horror movies, The Good, the Bad, and the So Bad They're Good. And the book is so big, it's available on Amazon and also at it's on available on Kindle and Nook, right?
Yeah, it is.
And by the way, it's only $3.99. I'll tell that right now. It's only $3.99. That's all it costs.
Oh, yeah,
to get it.
Cheap. It's a bargain for that, for 500,000 words.
Oh, it is big. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us tonight here on KFGO. You hang on the phone here for just a second. I'm going to ask you one quick question before we let you go. But it was a great interview, and we're going to podcast this here a little bit later on tonight, okay?
Oh, great. Thanks a lot.
You bet. That's very good. All right.